Saturday with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Minister Thomas Bourne, if I can go to you, that was a very sobering assessment, I think you'll have to agree, from Professor Philip Nolan on where we're at and where we're going with this virus. Is it time to acknowledge that the government, which had, acknowledge this as well, a very difficult decision to make at the end of the last 6 week lockdown, that you simply got it wrong, that Neffert were right, that you shouldn't have opened up hospitality when you did?
Well, I think there was very little difference between what Neffert was advising and what government actually decided. I mean, we had come out of it.
Well, the key difference was Neffert said, do not open up hospitality.
And Neffert allowed for maybe a slightly more liberal arrangement on household visits. And I think everybody agreed that numbers would go up, but I think nobody predicted that numbers would go to this level. But I think we have to, I mean, and I'm happy to take, you know, to explain, you know, take political responsibility, accountability, that's what we're here for. But I think it is important that we keep reminding people of the basics as well, in terms of if you get the symptoms that you need to self-isolate, if you're a close contact, you need to restrict your movements for the 14 days. I think we need to go back to basics, because whatever the reasons, whatever the variant, the rules are the same. And I would strongly echo what Philip Nolan said in terms of, you know, there are very clear guidance there. It's all available on the gov.ie website at the top of the page there as to what you can and can't do at the moment. And I think he feels that we will get the numbers down if people stick to both the letter and the spirit of these guidance. And I think that's what we'd be strongly encouraging people to do.
Can I just, before we leave this, can I put you, the Taoiseach very strongly made the case just before Christmas there that it was this new variant, that the numbers had gone in the direction they had, this massive surge that hadn't been anticipated, was not because of decisions that the government had made, but because this new variant was clearly, you know, running riot in the community. Now, Cillian de Gascoigne, as of last night, and again there, Professor Philip Nolan, is saying that is not what the data is showing them.
Yeah,
so surely some of this has to come back to your door, to the government's door, and the decisions that were made.
Well, government always has to take responsibility for decisions that it takes, absolutely. But I mean, I reiterate again, there wasn't a huge difference. There was a variation of what Neffert proposed. We were in a full lockdown.
The difference between opening up hospitality and not opening up hospitality can hardly be characterised as not a huge difference.
Well, I mean, Neffert were also allowing for Christmas that household visits would happen, and clearly they happened to a greater extent than anybody thought would actually happen.
We need to be clear with people about what was said and what wasn't said and who said what. Having opened up, Neffert were clear at that time that if hospitality were to be opened up, that we would not then be in a position to allow the level of household mingling that they would recommend over Christmas.
I don't even think Neffert, and I've the height of regard for them, and I listen to them, I don't think even they predicted what the case numbers would be at the moment. And I think Dr. Nolan has said that there now as well. This has come as a surprise, I think, to everybody. I look at countries as well. There are, like Belgium, for example, which is under a full lockdown, for at least a month. Its numbers are pretty similar to where we are at the moment. It has had no hospitality. It's had a curfew at 10 p.m. all through the month of December. They still have very high numbers. This is a bit more complex than simply saying government took one. There's lots of decisions government has to take, and governments won't get everything right. Like, let's be clear about that. We're in a pandemic. We're trying to do it. We were trying to, you know, allow a Christmas to happen, which is the purpose of the lockdown in November. We came down to a situation where we had the numbers where the second lowest in Europe at that particular time, and clearly there has been an unprecedented rise now, particularly in the last week to 10 days or so. And that is obviously a huge concern. It's a concern to me, and it's a concern to everybody, I expect.
David Cullinan.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year to you and your listeners, Katie. I very much hope it will be a better one than last year. Listen, we're in the midst of a very real crisis at the moment. And I think, just to answer the question directly in relation to decisions that were made in the past, I think the facts and the figures now speak for themselves that it was a mistake to push back against the public health advice. And I think we can go back to that pushback by Leo Varadkar at the time. And the government
back in October, you're saying?
Back in October, and then before Christmas again. There was a dull debate on this issue, and I very clearly said to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach at the time that they were putting the cart before the horse, that even before the public health advice was given, that they were setting out a roadmap for reopening the economy. But I also accepted that government have to make decisions
and
that have
wider
consequences.
And to be fair as well, Sinn Féin were not were not vocally out against this opening. In fact, I remember Matt Carthy sitting in the exact seat you're sitting in now when in the run-up the week before these restrictions were being lifted, saying his feeling was that people would be relieved and people wanted this.
Yeah, and people did, and that's the point I'm making, that I understand that the government have to make decisions which take on board the wider social and economic consequences. So obviously a decision was made. The government also told us, by the way, Katie, if you remember, that they commissioned their own data separate to NPHET's data in relation to retail and in relation to the hospitality sector. We've never seen that data. So obviously, as has been said, the government have to take responsibility for their actions. But I think because of the seriousness of the situation, our focus has to be on the here and the now. And I'm very, very concerned about the numbers. It isn't about recriminations at this point in time. It's about all of us collectively showing political leadership, advocating that the public health restrictions are abided by. This is a very real crisis in terms of the numbers. I'm very concerned about the rise in hospitalizations. I'm very concerned about the rise in cases of people in ICU. I'm very concerned about the R rate and the numbers that we're now going to see over the next number of weeks. And I can tell you, Katie, that it's now a time for absolutely no nuanced difference between government and opposition or NPHET or anybody else. I think we all have to get onto a page where we show very strong political leadership that when you have a real health emergency and a real health crisis, the only way to deal with it is head on with public health interventions. And I think now is the time to absolutely follow the advice from NPHET. And if that advice changes over the next number of days and weeks, we have to follow it, as tough as that is. And I just want to make this point, Katie, I don't underestimate the challenge this presents for families and for workers and for businesses. We all know people who've suffered hugely. And while we have to keep people safe, I'd make the point as well to governments that they have to support workers in terms of sustainability of the PUP. The banks have to play ball in relation to mortgages. The government can do more in terms of no rent increases and cash grants for businesses who will be really under pressure. So I think they're the type of collective efforts that we now need to get behind in the time ahead.
OK, can I bring Róisín Shortall in here? Róisín, you were listening, obviously, to Professor Nolan there and to Thomas Byrne's response. I mean, maybe, you know, there, as I say, it may not be the time for recriminations and finger-pointing, but you know, there'll be further decisions to be made as we go forward. And surely we should now be taking lessons on board.
Absolutely, Katie. And, you know, I think the fact is that the public and practically all of the opposition parties favoured a more cautious approach during December. And unfortunately, that wasn't the approach taken by government, and we're paying a very big price for that. But I think the important thing is what happens now. All of the indicators point to a dire situation. The warnings from the Chief Medical Officer and the HSE could not be more stark. The virus is rampant, it's out of control, and there is grave concern. These are the terms being used by people who are working at the centre of this. The figures are very bad. But, you know, we have to bear in mind that the impact of socialising between Christmas and the new year has not, the impact of that has not yet come through in the figures. So,
and is it not also, Róisín,
there is worse to come.
Yeah, and also that news last evening from Cillian de Gascoigne, and I know it's from limited data, but that so far it looks like a lot of this can't be attributed to this new, more transmissible strain, and that this could be just from the old-fashioned strain that we've been dealing with all the time, and we still have the threat of this new transmissible strain at our doorsteps. So that is also a very concerning development, is it not?
Exactly. And the Chief Medical Officer has been saying this for the last few weeks. And contrary to what the government are claiming, that is the case. We're only at this point starting to see the new variant coming through. So there were major problems with the approach taken with the existing virus. So, look, this, I believe, can only be described as a national emergency.
Should the Dáil be sitting, Róisín Shortall? I mean, it's not due back for another week and a half.
This morning, the Social Democrats contacted the Taoiseach asking for a cross-party approach to this and asking for a full briefing. The fact is that it's about a month since the opposition parties had a briefing from government on this, or from the Chief Medical Officer. What is needed is a cross-party response to this, and indeed, I would say, the involvement of employers and unions. We need to take a warlike approach to this issue. It is a national emergency. And, you know, that is why everybody needs to be working together in relation
to this. Let me put that to the Minister. Thomas Bourne, it's a national emergency. You need to come together and have a cross-party approach.
We need to do is physically come together.
Would you agree with Roisin Shortall there that it is a national emergency we are now faced with?
Clearly, this is a major crisis in our healthcare system and is an emergency situation. There's no doubt about that. Now, I'm not sure that recalling the Dáil is going to solve any of those problems. I certainly wouldn't favour that this week or next week. The government has no.
Why not?
Physically bringing people together, I don't think is something that we should be doing this week or next week at political level.
Well, people are holding parliaments over Zoom across the world.
I'm sorry, I said physically. The government has no difficulty briefing opposition members or having the Oireachtas committees can meet as well.
You do have a difficulty, Minister. That's the problem. You haven't done
briefings. We had a briefing on Brexit last week and not one single opposition member came to it and they're all invited. We have no difficulty briefing people on this.
I think you're being quite disingenuous there, Minister. There has been no briefing in relation to COVID for several weeks now. It's impossible to get any information from the Taoiseach. And, you know, the fact is that we all want to work with the government. We want to be part of the national effort. But, you know, government is not working with other players.
Well, I recognise that you want to work with government. I have no difficulty with that. And I have no doubt that a full briefing will be given. But I have to say, I also don't think there's a huge amount of extra information out there that hasn't been released publicly by our experts and by government at the moment. There's a huge amount of information out there. But I have absolutely no doubt that Stephen Donnelly and the Taoiseach would be more than happy to remotely meet any member of the opposition.
David is trying to get in here for a little while. David.
Well, first of all, I don't for a second believe that the Dáil should be recalled before it's due to come back. Obviously, the opposition leaders and the opposition whips with government will have to sit down now and look at how the Dáil can be opened safely. There obviously has to be political accountability. And I think one of the areas where we do need more information, and we hopefully will get to discuss this, is the vaccine rollout. Because people will want to know when we're going to get the doses of the vaccine, how quickly will we get them, how they will be rolled out. I'm on the record, Katie, is saying that the plan that has been put in place by Professor McCrae is a very good plan on paper. But that plan on paper has to be translated now into firm action. And
have you seen any indication of a timeline for when
various... No, that's my point. And
what people really need
exactly,
to see in
that. And I've been in direct contact with senior officials in the HSE. I've contacted the Minister for Health. I spoke to him a number of times over Christmas. And I've urged him to publish a plan that puts clear timeframes. Because obviously some of this may be outside of our control because we have to wait and see how many doses we get from Pfizer. We're all hopeful that more will come on stream. But see, in terms of the mass vaccination centres, we need to know when they're going to be in place, how many staff will be needed, how many doses we're going to get on a weekly basis. My understanding is that from the middle of January it will increase to 40,000. We need to know what the role of GPs and pharmacies will be. And I'm not saying this to be critical, I'm saying this because we need this information. And I think that the Dáil Health Committee that Roisin sits on as well as myself, but also the Dáil itself will obviously have to put a focus on these issues. So there has to be accountability. There may well be bills that the government have to bring through as well. So the Dáil will have to sit at some stage, limited way.
Minister.
To say about the vaccine in general and the rollout, well, I mean, the figures, I have the figures. I was talking to Professor Breen McCrae and they have engaged with the Oireachtas Health Committee, and I have no doubt that Breen McCrae would take a call from any member of the Oireachtas Health Committee at the moment.
But is there a supply issue? Is that our problem? Why is our rollout, in comparison to our nearest neighbours, the UK, in comparison to many jurisdictions, apparently so unambitious in terms of the number we are planning to vaccinate in the coming weeks?
Unambitious. The British very quickly approved the vaccine. They were able to do that. The European Medicines Agency approved it on the 21st of December. Just over a week later, we started rolling out the vaccine. To date now, we have received 40,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine. We are expecting a second delivery of 40,000.
We're going to have to vaccinate literally millions of people.
And we're literally less than a fortnight into this. What I've said is that we expect another 40,000 doses in the coming week. That's not yet confirmed. They are holding back about 50% of doses until the regularity of supply is confirmed. But this week, the vaccine, 17,000 frontline healthcare workers are going to get the vaccine throughout all of the seven regional hospital groups. About 3,000 of the most vulnerable citizens in nursing homes will get it. And by the end of this week, there will be about 25,000 people in total will have been vaccinated. Now, what's going to happen is...
Thomas mentioned the Health Committee and the appearance of Professor McCrae and indeed senior officials from the HSE before the Health Committee. And Roisin and I put direct questions to them in relation to timeframes, in relation to how many doses we would get, but crucially in relation to staffing and what staff was required. And I have to say, Thomas, the answers weren't there at that point. And we weren't saying that to be critical. We said that we wanted to come back in January. We wanted to give them time to go and look at all of this. I understand that this takes time to put in place, but we also have to say that this is going to be the biggest priority for 2021. It has to be an all hands on deck approach. And while we can't control everything in terms of the number of doses that we get, we need information, very clear information in terms of what they will be. But crucially, it's in relation to staffing and it's in relation to training. And then it's in relation to the geographical spreads. So, for example, the 15 vaccination centres, where will they be? I think it's reasonable for people to be asking for that information. And if there's good reason why none of that is there at the moment, then it's up to those to say why. So I think it's more than just phone calls. It has to be real political accountability and transparency around all of the information.
Can I just ask as well, maybe Roisin, would you, you'll have seen that story in the front of the Irish Times this morning in relation to... the gap between the jabs, between the vaccinations being received, that as they've now done and decided to do in the UK, and there's been a lot of criticism of that, that you extend that gap and then get more people vaccinated with at least the first jab. Is that something that we should be concerned about if we're considering bringing that in here?
Well, Katie, I think that's a medical decision and I'm not qualified to give an opinion on that. But if it is advised, then I think we should consider it, because there are serious concerns about the availability of supplies. The government has provided no detail at all on the likely scheduling of the delivery of supplies. It seems that the quantity of the Pfizer vaccine available to us, it's likely to be small for the time being. The government is talking about completing the vaccination of everybody in nursing homes by the end of February. And there are also concerns about inadequate supplies on an EU basis due to delays in ordering it by the EU. Now, you know, the government needs to level with the public in relation to the likely timescale for the provision of the vaccines. It's very dangerous to give people false hope about this, as it will encourage people to let down their guard. And we just cannot afford to do that now.
Yeah. Thomas Byrne.
Yeah, well, I agree completely with that last point. We can't let down our guard even when the vaccine is being rolled out. The issue of the second dose, that issue that's in the papers today, all that's happening there at the moment, to be clear, is that it is being considered, and Roisin's right, it's a medical decision by medical experts. And I think the approach of Professor McGrath and the committee there is to, you know, it would be foolish not to consider it, but it's not been planned or it hasn't been decided, and experts are going to guide that particular decision. But in the 3 weeks from the 11th of January, all residents and staff of the long-term care facilities will receive their first vaccination. That's about 75,000 people. So this is being rolled out. It will snowball as well when other vaccines come.
What about that supply issue? Because there is a lot of concern about where we're at in terms of the supply of this, of the vaccine.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that is a concern. We've joined in the European Union plan, which, generally speaking, has been very successful. I mean, one of the things that hasn't been done to an extent that was done, say, in Britain or in America particularly, we haven't moved ultra quickly on it for the sake of having it out there, because I think all of the expert advice on vaccination programmes is that you have to move quickly, obviously, that's important, but you have to do it safely as well. And we need to make sure that the highest safety standards are there and there's no mistakes made, because there's any mistake.
No, but you're not suggesting that that the supply thing is a fake leaf. Are you acknowledging there is a supply issue?
Well, clearly we don't have what I'm saying is that in the European Medicines Agency approved the first vaccine at a later time than, say, the British did or the Americans did. That was a few weeks on, and it's similar for other ones. So clearly we couldn't start this ball rolling until the European Medicines Agency had approved, which we're talking weeks, by the way.
I think we have to be fair as well, Katie, and say that a lot of this will depend on new vaccines coming on stream. So we know that a number of others might get approval from the European Union.
That we would have had those on stream by
yes,
now, and well, that would have helped us with our supply.
We have an advanced purchase agreement with Pfizer of 2.2 million doses. I think the total number of advanced purchase agreements that we have is about 14 million doses with all of the pharmaceutical companies. So the quicker, obviously, that happens, and we can't rush that. The regulators have to be given the time, of course, to do so. But when they make that decision, the hope then is that the stocks coming in from multiple different companies will mean that we'll have more opportunities. And that's the point of that I'm making. You see,
okay,
when that, see when
okay,
that happens.
I'm going to leave that one there because
that's when the infrastructure
okay.
needs to be in place.
I'm going to have to leave. Sorry, Thomas Bourne.
Yeah. Because the temperature has to be set.
I have sorry, Roisin. I just want because I'm going to have to move on, and I do want to ask this question before we move on from this subject. The issue of schools. We heard there from Professor Nolan that we're going to be looking at many thousands of cases per day by the end of next week, when teachers and parents are going to be looking at sending their kids back into schoolrooms and teachers going back into schoolrooms on the following Monday. Is that feasible if that is the level of transmission that we're going to be seeing in the community? Thomas Bourne.
Yeah, well, as Philip Nolan said, I mean, schools are, I think, paraphrasing, but I mean, schools have been safe places and we haven't seen the outbreaks and children are certainly less likely to suffer.
There is some indication that there are more more cases in children coming through
data. I've seen that anecdotally as well myself locally. But what I would say is that the government has obviously decided to postpone it till the 11th of January. The government wants to get children back to school, but safely back to school for students and staff. So whatever advice we're given on that will be taken. But the advice at the moment is that they can open on the 11th of January.
Roisin Shortall.
Yeah, well, I think as with most things, the figures have to dictate the action that's taken. There's very little data been provided in relation to the number of outbreaks and cases in schools. You would expect, I think, at this stage, given the level of the virus, that it is hard to see the schools opening on the 11th of January. That's what I'd have to say, and given experience in other countries. But again, you know, like all of these things in relation to building sites, the availability of alcohol, travel, all of those things should be determined by the data. We need to see the figures on this. Okay. And that's why we're saying we need those kind of briefings.
Okay, just very briefly, David Cullinan, do you see the schools opening on the 11th of January?
That's down to the public health advice. I have two young boys myself and I know every day that they're in school is precious. And obviously what I want and the assurance that parents will want is that if schools open that children can be kept safe and that they can be safe. But obviously that will come down to NPHET's recommendation. I'll put it
and
this way.
It'll be down to whether teachers are willing to go into those classrooms
and there has to be
well.
Engagement with those teaching unions. The same with the early childcare sector as well who've been left behind in all of this. They have to be treated the same as the education sector. But if NPHET advises that schools should close, then schools should close. It's as simple as.
Okay, we're going to have to leave that there. We'll take a break.